listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 22nd. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, you know, I'm happy to be here.
Happy to have you and happy to have those joining us live as well as those that take the time to listen to us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. On to tonight's topic, the astral plane. Very interesting, very far-reaching, and thank you to archive listener Lori for suggesting the topic. Dr. Vicki, any thoughts coming in right out of the gate?
Well, let's first maybe address what like the general definition is of the astral plane.
That's a good idea. I was rereading on a lot of these things, and it just jumped out at me how varied it is. And
I know.
How far back it goes. But, yeah, how would you best describe it?
Well, some people call it that supernatural plane of existence, if you will. Or the astral realm, meaning the spirit world, or that let's say that consciousness after death in that other plane. So if I can read you in here, like there's a whole number of things online about this, but it's been talked about since the medieval days, the Orient, way back,
going back to Plato and things too.
Oh, sure. It goes since some of the earliest writing or hieroglyphics referred to a plane of existence beyond this physical world.
Mm-hmm.
So, which would be invisible to our naked eye, but experiential through our, let's say, spiritual understanding. But keep in mind, we're all processing through our own reality of whatever that is. So people very often want to know, how do I astral travel, for instance? And in other words, through a meditation. How do you then alter your consciousness so that you're traveling into that world between the worlds, having that other supernatural experience?
Right.
And see, and this is where, I don't want to complicate things, but what we would then consider is that silver thread that connects us to our astral body, meaning our spiritual body that's connected to the astral plane.
Or, this, just connects so easily to near-death experiences and things, too.
Exactly, sure. So it's that silver cord that we remain connected to the universal energy, whatever that universal energy is. And once that cord breaks, then we disconnect from the human body and go into that astral plane. And again, what we would consider that's a spiritual plane of existence. So meanwhile, what people generally want to know about, how do I astral travel? In other words, how do I alter my consciousness to travel or leave my body with still being connected with my body to have that otherworldly experience, or that spiritual experience? And to be honest, it's not hard. It just takes a little bit of discipline and willingness to let go, you know. And if somebody has control issues, it's not likely going to happen that you can astral travel. Or you might have one of those experiences that Dr. Mike Wright's mushrooms disturb. And for those in the archives, we are reading the chat just as we're also doing the show, and every now and again somebody throws something into the chat that makes us smile. So Dr. Zach says there are schools dedicated to teaching students how to have out-of-body experiences, but he agrees with Dr. Mike, mushrooms will get you there. So I think that ayahuasca, is that what it's called, in South America, that, you know, you smoke this stuff and you have that otherworldly experience, that, you know, traveling the astral world, so to speak. And basically it's altering the consciousness and freeing up the mind to no existence beyond this physical world, so to speak.
Yeah. You know, it does. And, you know, reading up on it, going back to, you know, Plato and the ancient Greeks, classical philosophy, you know, we call them, you know, it's the star plane, really, you know, astro, the same as astronomy, astrology, things like that. So, you know, the ancients believed that stars were made of something fundamentally different than the elements we had on Earth, and they talked about these, you know, different planes of existence in that, you know, heavenly kind of sphere, hence the terminology. But we also go up through the medieval period, which you talked about, which I think is some interesting ideas of, you know, kind of the medieval era infused into the predominant Christianity that kind of infused Europe at the time, and looking at it from, you know, a European historical perspective. In this case, in the medieval period, looking at angelic spheres, that kind of just different spheres of existence between earth and heaven as the astral plane. But the one thing that's really fascinating is you can look to most cultures in history, and there's always this plane of existence that's not the material world. And when I'm looking for something that, you know, while still unverifiable and, you know, relatively circumstantial, if you see it repeated so much throughout human societies and throughout history, it lends, I think, more credence to the idea of it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Michael, just as you were talking, I was also reading what Caleb had just written in the chat. Can I go there for a second?
Oh, of course.
Caleb writes, he's read that the astral plane is a transitory plane, sort of a lobby of the spirit world. Live people with bodies can travel there to meet spirits, but if their connection to their body is broken, they remain there. True enough. Or move on to another plane where spirits live permanently. And, you know, I tend to see it that way, in a way. So imagine for a moment grounded spirits who are in that astral plane, but they're close to our consciousness, or a grounded spirit living in a building and won't leave. You know, mm-hmm. They're in an altered plane of existence, but without a body. And so that being that transitory plane, in a way, but there are, I think there's other planes of existence beyond that. I think that in my understanding and some of the experiences I've had is that there are some who don't want to stay grounded at all, and man, they're like out of here, you know?
Yeah.
And And they can, some can come back if they want to, but if you go beyond that plane of existence, you don't come back at all.
And that's,
there's no transport kind of thing.
And therein is another interesting link, kind of to last week's topic about do the dead care about the living. You could talk about the astral plane mm-hmm. being the place where they would exist to care, meaning actively trying to communicate a message or something like that. And it also makes me think about a lot of the jokes you see online these days, talking about how back in the day, if a apartment, condo, or house was haunted, it would, you know, take down the market value. Ah, people don't care anymore. They're like, it's fine, you know. What's the price? Oh, no, that's great. Let's go ahead and move in. Ghost? Oh, don't worry about it. We'll just turn the TV on louder. But
if you've got a haunted house, it's, you know, great. Charge money if people come visit.
There you go. See? You know, great Airbnb advertising.
And there you go. So I think that there's, and I tend to, look, by my experiences in altered consciousness and, you know, doing readings, my understanding of the astral plane and even through meditation is being able to fly. So think of that, fly in a different state.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to, you know, still come back. And that silver cord is, silver thread is really important in that. So as Caleb said, you know, if that connection breaks, then you remain on the other side.
So yeah, and that has a logic to it. And listening to you kind of relate those experiences, I also wonder, you talked about your perception and, well, your view that there are, you know, many planes of existence. Mm-hmm. The astral plane is not the only realm beyond our sensory perception. Would you say that the astral plane is the, you know, biggest medium, for lack of a better term, when you communicate with, you know, entities that are not in the material world?
See, that's a good question. I don't think so, but it's entirely possible. I think that there has to be something in that astral plane. You know, I don't know. Think
the tether,
of
Star, so to speak.
Star Trek and, mm-hmm. you know, talking to another spaceship, you know, in that warp 5 over there, but you can still talk to each other.
Well, it's subspace. It all makes sense.
Yeah, well, yeah, it makes sense to us if we watch Star Trek. I think that there is a capability. One thing I don't connect with is anybody who has left and not coming back. Like if they've beamed out, you know, they're, oh, it's like, I'm out of here. There are other terms given to the various states of consciousness or, you know, the those esoteric worlds, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody has said, no, I want nothing to do with this planet, I'm done for a while, however long that is, they're not in the grounded state. They're not in that, you know, place where they can come back and forth and communicate. They're out of touch. So I think what happens if there is any kind of communication, it's from residual memory. That's
right.
My take on it.
So kind of like an echo of consciousness.
Yeah, I mean, so think about, my spirits can tap into that consciousness and they can kind of get a feel for what the residual energy is. And, oh, you know, these are the characteristics of that individual you lost. And this is what they used to say, but I'm not actually talking to them.
Right.
You know, it's just a relay of residual. And I think residual imprints are left in the astral plane, much like residual imprints are left here on Earth. So that's, you know, I believe that. But again, you know, I always sound like I'm sitting on the fence, and I don't mean to sound that. I was thinking about that today.
I mean,
you know, I try to be open-minded. And here's the thing about being truly a metaphysician with an open mind. This is, you know, I'm articulating what I believe based on experiences and the information I've gathered. I want to stay open-minded for two reasons. I don't want to discredit other people in their reality and their views.
Mm-hmm.
No judgment. But the other is I want to remain open enough to say, I hadn't thought of that before.
Yeah.
See?
Instead of kind of going into that defensive.
I don't want to be defensive, and I don't want to be absolute in this is how it is. I mean, I've actually mentored people into learning how to astral travel. But I always ask, what's your intent?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the intent of that? Do you truly want to grow as a spiritual human being? Or is it that you want to astral travel and check in on your boyfriend and make sure he's not cheating? You know, which, by the way, is absolutely possible to do.
Well, I think that comes back to the fact that there are elements within the, you know, intelligence communities in the world that put a lot of stock into it. You know, a lot of things, you know, about related to the MK Ultra programs and other type of programs they had in the CIA, trying to use astral projection to see if they could spy and things like that. Of course, if that were common enough, they wouldn't need things like the, you know, prison program with the NSA and things like that to tap phone calls.
Yeah. But,
you know, kind of coming back in, though, it's it is a very interesting thought. And, you know, I think about how it's been defined by a lot of different peoples. Dr. Zach in chat was asking if is purgatory part of the astral plane? But then, is, you know, as Kayla had said earlier, if, you know, the astral plane is a place that you go in between the worlds, is that not just another term for purgatory? Is purgatory, it's just semantics, really, because you're talking about a place, well, purgatory, I guess, has more religious overtones.
Well, and Zach does say that. He says, or is purgatory a religious construct, mm-hmm. in the chat here? So here's my take on that. Purgatory. What is purgatory? Purgatory is a self-inflicted state of being. So whether you're alive or dead, purgatory is of your own creation through your own psychodynamics, your own emotional dynamic, spiritual dynamic. So what is purgatory? It's just the hell you live in.
Well, purgatory's not supposed to be a hell, though.
It's not a place. So
I think that is heavily, the idea of, you know, purgatory is that kind of themed, you know, it's neither heaven nor hell, it's kind of just meh. It's the neutral of afterlives. But I think that's probably just coloring maybe even more ancient perceptions of the middle world and, you know, coloring it with their own perceptions and biases of the time, which is kind of filtered through to the modern age. But I think it is.
The Vikings, if anybody is familiar with any of the Norse folklore, Hel, H-E-L, is Earth. The Midgard is what we might refer to as the astral plane. And the Asgard is the higher world. So mm-hmm. if you have a visual on that, and those basic three, which I think there are many more in between them, but we live in hell. This is, you know, the H-E-L, which is the physicality of our existence, which is, you know, defined by our organics and our environment, and but we're still connected to the Midgard and the Asgard. So it's that Midgard, again, is that astral world. So you have to travel through the Midgard to get to Asgard, which mm-hmm. is what every Viking would want, is, you know, go home to the Asgard. And yeah. very often stuck in the Midgard.
And Valhalla being an element of Asgard, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Valhalla is just a little higher than the Asgard. Valhalla is where the gods live.
Hmm.
So again, when we do enter into this, you know, the religion, you know, how it's kind of played out or how we've intellectualized, you know, these experiences, I think every culture has had its own take on it and given it its own kind of, you know, take on it. Kayla just wrote, purgatory is basically the Greek Hades, the place where non-good dead people went. It was called that because the boss down there was Hades, Zeus's brother. But, again, there's nothing down there. It's just a lower state of consciousness. So it's not a place, people. It's a state of being, a state of mind. And, you know, all the non-good dead people, well, that could still be said as part of the astral world, but in a lower frequency.
Mm-hmm.
But do they all hang out together? I kind of think not. At least that wouldn't make any sense to me.
Well, which is another interesting thing is, you know, if you're on the astral plane and you happen to cross by somebody else that's on the astral plane, is there? Do you notice them? Do you see them? Are they observable? Or is it when you're on the astral plane, is it like you're on your own frequency and you can't intermingle with another's frequency?
See, that's a really good question.
Maybe put it to any, you know, first-hand accounts. Has anybody relayed to your knowledge that they've seen another person while astral projecting in their astral form, to be specific?
Yes.
Okay. Very interesting.
Yes. I mean, in fact, you can... Let's say you and I agreed to at 10 o'clock synchronize our meditation and I'll see you on the astral plane. We could actually go to the astral plane and hang out there, you know, but we're each going to have our own views of what that reality is that we're experiencing because we still filter through the human eye.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to be able to relate it to our own reference points.
Sure. Would we see mountains and, you know, would we see the earth from a different perspective, like you're in an airplane looking down, or would you be flying through the stars and all these different galaxies? Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
So it's whatever kind of reality we're comfortable with and how we filter our world through. So, but yes, I've had the experience of connecting with somebody on the astral plane, actually many times. But I think also, to open another door here, I think that's what telepathy is.
That's interesting.
I think that it's like having a landline of, you know, we were all connected through landlines for our telephones. And now we're connected through, you know, cell towers and otherwise. And I think it still has to go through the ethers, so to speak. Communication goes through some etheric kind of form. And I think that telepathy does much the same.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're communicating at a telepathic level, that's not through any kind of organic or any kind of earthbound kind of measure. It's through... you know, an astral plane. That's how I see it as, in thinking about, you know, the quantum connections. And so that's kind of how it links up. Can you visually see it? I'm not sure. You know,
well,
some people can, some can't.
Well, I think that kind of comes back to what you were saying earlier about everybody kind of creates their own construct. But I also... It makes me think about all kinds of things. You know, if we're talking about the astral plane is almost, you know, a part of the electromagnetic spectrum, right? The same way we use radio. And
exactly.
Could you then reverse engineer that to use almost a, what would be the equivalent of a radio telescope for the astral plane, using that kind of frequency to project out and to use it to, you know, get things that bounce back, or so to speak, to kind of map the astral plane. That just makes me think about all kinds of things about, you know, trying to achieve the right state of meditation and focus to be able to explore the astral realm in that kind of way. That's very interesting.
Each of us has our own primary senses, too, our more sensitive senses. You know, some people have smells that are active, and, you know, some are auditory, some are visual, sensory. And so there's many ways. Whatever your strong thing is going to be, that's how you're going to kind of, you know, view it. I had the wildest experience. I'll tell you about this, and I wonder kind of where this goes in a sense, but it haunted me for a long time, and I finally made peace with it to say this, okay? I was 18 years old, and I was taken aboard a long cylindrical ship with windows, and from where I located in Canada, flew to the West Coast, all the way down, a whole bunch of us silhouetted beings in astral bodies. And that's kind of why I remember this, is because it was like my astral body was there, And flying down, I could see all the lights, the cities, the land, and then zipped back because my phone rang. Literally, my phone rang. And took me out of that state, wherever I was.
So and an astral so, craft.
Well, this is the thing that is a mystery to me, because I've asked many people about this, you know, my old mentors, you know, a lot of people of what was that? And my late teacher, Frank, would say that there was a French group of spirits that would take people on journeys, you know, and that was another thing that he believed in.
Did you say French? But,
sorry?
Did you say French?
Yeah, there was a body of, you know, they call it the White Lighters that were from France, and that they would literally, this bound group of spirits would try to enlighten those on the world by taking them on these astral journeys.
Well, that's interesting.
You know, lots of interesting stories like that. And so, but as I've, this is
I don't know, I just think they'd be rude to me, but go ahead.
So we're talking here 50 years later, and I see a lot more on the internet, and I see pictures of that very same cylindrical spaceship online all the time with UFO sightings and stuff. That was the only experience I had with it. Can I tell you that I was connected with, you know, extraterrestrial intergalactic beings? I have no idea. All I know is boarded my astral body, boarded onto this long cylinder, like a hot dog, and it had windows. That's all I know. So I'm not going to tell you, oh, UFOs, you know, blah, blah, but it's the nearest thing that makes sense to me. But again, that's an astral body. My body's at home, but my astral body is somewhere else. So, I mean, this is where we can take this conversation in many different places, but it's, again, what is consciousness, you know? And a question we'll never have answered except for what we experience. And we're trying to define or articulate by some definitive measure, you know, what this otherworldly experiences are.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only tell you that, you know, hundreds if not thousands of people I've talked to in my lifetime who have had astral experiences, you know, but are those UFOs, are those spirits, are those whatever, you know, it's whatever you see it as. And it doesn't matter. It only matters that you've had an altered state and that we're reminded that there's a life far greater than us.
Right.
Way bigger than us.
You know, this is a really fascinating discussion, and just one last thought I have before we get to our cards tonight. It's, you know, it occurred to me, do animals connect to the astral plane?
I can't answer that with any sensible articulation, Michael. I would have to imagine, yes. Now, again, Buddhists believe that we can reincarnate to every type of life form on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be a mosquito, you could be a fly, you could be. My late teacher, Frank, and my late mentor, Magda, disagreed with that. Their understanding is that each of us is on our own frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And that a certain body of animals would have a frequency. Like all the four-leggeds would have a frequency, the, you know, the two-leggeds or the, you know, the winged ones.
Mm-hmm.
And many indigenous cultures believe the same thing. It's in that body of frequencies. Astral travel and fly? I think,
well,
yes.
Maybe even that, or even just have a connection to the astral plane that they're more perhaps aware of. I'm just kind of throwing stuff out, but that also makes me think.
I would believe so.
And when I hear you talk about that, my mind also goes to, if we're going to, for the sake of argument, kind of mesh this with what we know of evolution over time, does that mean that the spirit that reincarnates evolves over time as the, you know, life forms that it, you know, experiences and attaches to evolve throughout the millions upon millions of years, the billions of years? You know, time is a heck of a thing.
Yeah, so, and I believe that we are in a spiritual maturity, if you will, that, and some mature faster, greater, more than others. But are we spiritually evolving? That's the hope. And, you know, as we continue to have altered experiences, we are, hopefully through a right mind, maturing spiritually. Because it opens us up. I think when I get discouraged with people who dabble is, you know, they have one or two altered experiences and suddenly think that they're brilliant and, you know, evolved and not, and they're really dysfunctional human beings, you see. And I think it's really to teach us about how, like, why are we here except to learn to be better human beings, not greedier, smarter, you know, more competitive, but rather more compassionate and understanding, because that's a spiritual realm. The spirit doesn't know about what kind of car you have or, you know, whether or not you can pay your bills, to be honest. It
well,
only
obviously.
Knows about...
They haven't given me any help. Jeez.
Well, it's, you know, I'm just saying that I think that we have these experiences to teach us how to become better human beings.
Well, my takeaway is there are a bunch of selfish spirits that won't help me with the bills. They're going to be, you know, tied to my house. They're going to pay rent. Jeez.
But. Well, I've always said, look, $5 ain't what it used to be, guys. Come on.
True enough.
You know, so. Good conversation, though. I mean,
absolutely.
I really like these conversations, and it's stimulating, provoking, and actually a good reminder for all of us to, you know, ask ourselves, who are we? Oh. I think that's what it basically does.
Very well said. Very well said. And, you know, when we get into these topics, you know, I'm so hungry for the mechanics of it. I want to know, you know, how does it work? What can you do with it? You know, how are we going to engineer ourselves the astral jammer that Kayla had put in chat and things like that? You know, so I guess next week we're going to talk about the engineering of devices we're going to use to take over the astral plane. That's going to be fun.
Right. That would be awesome. Yeah. Well, let's start. We got some names in our chat, Michael. Let's start with Raven, shall we? What do you got?
All right. So, Dr. Raven, I have wild card number 3 for you tonight, blocks. So always interesting to start out with a wild card. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required, and remain open. Good card.
Well, I have the star in support of that, Raven, and I think you can appreciate it. Follow your intuition. The star is also about water and free-flowing. And if you're seeing resistance in any way, you know, just step back and see where the water's flowing. You know, where is the energy best moving for you right now? Just because something also is perhaps a blockage doesn't mean it can't be done later. It just means that maybe the timing's not quite right. So go with water.
I
hope
like
that makes
it.
Sense.
All right. And we have Dr. Mike next. And Dr. Mike, I have number 35 in the service to self and others suit. Let's see, number 35. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake, it's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
Well, the Seven of Diamonds, or the Seven of Pentacles, really is, you know, it speaks to harvest. So how I'm going to relate this, Mike, is what you have gleaned in your life, what you've harvested out of your life experiences, how can you extract what serves best for all, not just a few? So it's kind of like what could 100 people in a room relate to, not just 2 people in a room. So that's how I'm feeling about that. So it's one planet, one race, one destiny. But I also see that as a collective. You know, it's we are this collection. So speak to the collection as best as able, not just to the couple who might relate most. So, and I see writing there, so I hope that makes some kind of sense for you. You know, I guess we better say, too, for those in the archives, Michael has Dr. Kelly's Self-Discovery Inner Oracle cards. He picks one, and mm-hmm. I pick a supporting tarot card, and we see what we have here. And yeah. Hopefully, you know, people get something from that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, and at least, you know, maybe something to make you think, and yep. Good reminder for people that might not be as familiar. And all right, so going along through the list of folks, I have Deb next.
Yep.
And Deb, I have number 26 in the spirituality suit, energy signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending, or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy. Remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
Well, in this case, Deb, with the Seven of Clubs, I would say just be observant and a little bit cautious of what energies are in and around your life that could be obstructing your best flow. And so if you feel that there's some negative folks around, maybe you want to either just dismiss what they're saying or and ignore them, or try to avoid them altogether. Because you're going forward now. You don't have to defend yourself, and you don't have to justify what you do and who you are, provided you're not harming anybody, you're following all the 9 principles, you know. We don't, in other words, I don't have to explain who I am, but people can take time to get to know who I am. So that's kind of where I'm going with that. Gee, I sure hope that makes sense.
Very much what connects.
And all right.
Jamil, I have next, if he's on, if I'm on track. And Jamil, I have number 12 in the existential suit, Spirit, Cosmos, Divine Energy. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play. Good card.
Well, and the Seven of Hearts, Seven of Cups, in support of that, Jamil, very often this symbol to me means understanding the difference between fantasy and reality, or what, in other words, what's an illusion versus what makes sense. So in divine energy, and as you continue to study, I would just say it's hinting at staying grounded. Certainly knowing that we're all connected, but having a formula from which that kind of makes sense, and building on dreams rather than a hopefulness. You know, you have to have something substantial to keep that energy moving forward, at least in this organic world we do. So I hope that kind of resonates with you, Jamil, because I feel like you could be being led in a path that maybe isn't necessarily yours, but you think it's a good idea. And sometimes good ideas are just that. It's simply an idea. So.
Well, and I think a lot of times what we might consider a good idea It is. Well, yeah, it isn't, but only because there are variables and things that we can't see. You know, we've talked before about how when something happens, you don't really know if it's going to be good or bad until things play out a bit.
Yeah.
But good poll. All right, so we have Ronaldo next. And Ronaldo, for you, I have number 39. It's in the life skills suit, education. Good card. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situation, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good card.
Well, it is a good card. And I'm a little confused about something, Ronaldo, because I pulled the page of sort, which can sometimes mean challenges or difficulty. So I said, oh, I got to figure this out. And to do it faster, I just pull another card. And it's temperance. And it's saying here, be patient with yourself. So in the event that, you know, what you're learning or what you have learned and you're trying to, you know, apply it, it's rather than frustration, self-observe. And I want to say take a breath, go slow, and again, be water, you know. It's temperance is, you know, that flow of life, and patience is what that is. So if there's something here that you're embarking on and it feels a little frustrating, just, if you can, chill out as best you can, take a breath, and have some patience, because the details will come to you. You'll figure it out.
I like
it. Right.
All right.
Dr. Zach next, I think.
I have Dr. Zach as well. And Dr. Zach, for you, I have number 17. It's in the existential suit, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
You know, as soon as you said reinvention, I thought, Zach's always reinventing himself. He's always doing something to reinvent himself. But then again, I said, okay, let's, you know, even as you're talking, Michael, I'm saying, what am I going to pull for Zach? King of Spades, Zach. So you kind of know what that means. I know you do. That's that confidence, the assertive energy, that taking charge. It's that a certainty about where you are. It's kind of like going from oh no to no, or yeah to yes, and that certainty, because that's the energy that the King of Spades has. And it's not always aggressive or overbearing. You know, a mature kind of King of Swords is you know, he's a good overseer, but he has also a no-nonsense kind of energy to him. And I think in some case you may be instructing or going to be instructing in some way, and, you know, you're a good educator, Zach, we know that, and it's your approach that you take that you kind of gain that bit of a reputation. That's a good teacher. You can be friends, but you still have to teach.
Mm-hmm.
So you're finding that way. I think it's a good message for you, Zach.
Very interesting. I like it. And you're absolutely right on that point on reinvention and just, you know, always being a good educator. I have to say I really enjoyed our discussions on astrology and kind of widening my own eyes to that field. But very good.
Awesome.
And we have our card keeper herself, Wendy, next. And thank you for keeping track. I've seen that we've gotten a lot of new cards tonight, no repeats. So let's see how that continues on. And for you, Wendy, I have wild card number 8, freedom. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for the present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
I love that word, freedom. You have no idea. It just that gives me chills. I like that. To be free to be who you are. It's amazing. Wendy, the Jack of Clubs, in support of that. You know, any of... keep in mind that you have knights to kings, but you don't have princesses to queens in the tarot, or even a deck of cards. So in this case, the Jack or the knight is both male or female. And in this case, wands are about communication, the messengers, and what kind of message is being communicated. So you're not only learning freedom, but you're teaching freedom in how you live. So when you exemplify that, when you example that to the world, you know, people look up to you saying, oh, I want to be like Wendy, you know, because they want to know what that is. And it's because you're just free to be yourself. And you're free to, you're not censoring yourself in the same way that you might have before, or filtering. It doesn't mean that you're rude, crude, or otherwise. It just means that you're not, as I say, you're not talking in the cul-de-sacs of language, you know. You're going straight on in the streets and avenues, and it's direct, and it just makes sense. So I like it. I think you're in a bit of a shift here, Wendy. Great.
I love that. I absolutely love that. All right, we have Zach Smith next, and thank you so much for joining us. Glad to have you. All right, and Zach, tonight I have for you number 19 in the spirituality suit, Invoke the Counselor Within. Let's see, number 19. Oop, I just had it. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you. Good card. And Zach, if you're a newcomer, what you just heard me do is I read from the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery Card Guidebook. That's with the cards, and it makes it much easier for me. Dr. Vicky has the hard job.
Oh, I just, whatever rolls off my tongue, Michael, I don't know. So, but for Zach Smith, Counselor Within, when you get the Hierophant, Hierophant is about, I always see it more as the home, the stabilizer, the conformity, how you are managing through your days and kind of where you live. So Invoke the Counselor Within, I would say it's like getting the home in order. Maybe a sense of, you might be living somewhere, but does it feel like your home? Can you make it more home? Or is there a move that you're considering to make that that's more conducive to, you know, to who you are? And it's just changing the energy around. So, you know, Invoke the Counselor Within is, you know, go with what you need at the moment. And again, if you're, you know, cohabitating with others, we also have to consider other people. But can you find a little corner for yourself? Can you find your own little, you know, nook that you can find a new rhythm in your life? That's what I gleaned from that one. So hope that helps, Zach Smith. Nice to see you here.
Good message.
We also have Laura.
Mm-hmm.
We have Laura, I think, is our last one tonight. Nice to see you here, Laura.
I believe you're correct. And Laura, for you, I have number 25 in the spirituality suit. I've seen a lot of that spirituality suit tonight. Power of belief. See, belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy, and proceed with conviction.
Well, this is pretty powerful, Laura. It's the High Priestess. Now, in and of herself or himself, the High Priestess is insightful, intuitive, empathetic, but she's also a seer. You know, she can also look beyond. And your power of belief in being the High Priestess, it could be one of two ways. So let's say you're doubting yourself in what you know, and in doubting yourself, maybe it's the language in how you relay what you know. And so find ways, like good, healthy, positive ways to get your ideas across. Or let's say you are doing readings for people in some way, then make sure you're giving it in a good way and just learning other skills. And the other way is we can get overconfident sometimes, and we need to rein that in and say, maybe it's not quite what I believe in. I've learned more. So, you know, we're constantly this work in progress. So don't be stuck in what we believe in, but also don't be, you know, too hard on yourself to say you don't believe in anything. You know?
Yeah.
And it's finding that intuitive self, that spiritual self, which, you know, that's not an easy one, but it's a learning curve. But I want to say it's a really powerful message about believing in yourself and the growth of self. So.
And so true for each of us. You know, it's kind of we talked about education being constant earlier. This is kind of along those lines. You know, it is constant because the world is constantly changing. Admittedly, the more the world changes, the more it stays the same, but we do have to constantly adapt to those changes. And, constant cycle. But some good cards tonight and a lot of new ones.
Yeah, one thing I don't know, I kind of want to get on a 10-second soapbox about freedom if I can, Michael. It might be longer than 10 seconds.
Well, I'm going to time you, but go ahead.
You know, freedom is about how you feel about yourself, everybody. You know, it's are you free to be yourself? Are you constrained in some way? Are you tiptoeing around? Are you not confident? Do you have them esteem? All those things. And, you know, through various stages of life, which some of us who are a bit older can appreciate a little more, because you get to a point where it is what it is. And I am who I am in a constant state of learning. You stop apologizing for yourself. And even if you've made mistakes, had embarrassing moments, God only knows I've had my share. You know, feeling ashamed even, or, you know, of, oof, that was a dumb thing, or I shouldn't have said that. You know, there's ways that we can make up for those moments, but there's also ways we make up for it in ourselves. And if we didn't know something, then that's understandable. When you do know something and you still make a mistake, it's just an excuse to keep repeating things. That's not freedom. Freedom is to be open and aware of who you are and be willing to take on whatever life has to give, but you have the strength and the power to know you can do that. And I'm not saying that we don't have frailties, because we all do, and we all have our own vulnerabilities, for that matter. But, you know, we are free to have them, and knowing them gives us our strength. So that's my little soapbox, Michael.
That's freedom is a big thing. It is a big thing. And I think in many cases, you know, unless we're talking about somebody physically inhibiting your freedom, a lot of that's just, it's in our head, it's in our perceptions, just like you said, well put.
Or cognitive dissonance.
That's a big one, isn't it?
Dr. Kelly puts it so succinctly, cognitive dissonance is, you know, for secondary gains, you know.
Absolutely.
You don't want to see it because you're gaining in some other way. And once that way isn't important to you anymore, you'll see which other way there is. So, but that's part of the journey too, right?
It is. And, you know, it's a tough one for a lot of us. You know, it's the secondary gains is what made people that believe in flat earth ideas, you know, clicked. They're scared that the world and, well, that the universe is so massive, it makes some feel insignificant. But, you know, there's a bigger truth that we can connect to. So, you know, it's those secondary gains we got to watch out for. But,
Indeed.
But another great discussion tonight. You know, I have really enjoyed this one. I enjoy all of them, so it's easy to say. And, you know, I think we're still kind of putting some ideas together for upcoming broadcasts and topics and discussions. Looking forward to having some more guests coming up throughout the year, too, so we'll be looking forward to that. But, you know, it's always a journey. It's always a quest to kind of understand this world better. And through discussion, even of things that are, you know, documented that we've talked about from even the Metaphysics Institute courses and TFU courses, but also things that we see, we come together, we share these perspectives, these tidbits of knowledge with one another, and hopefully we grow through that experience. So I really appreciate this. I appreciate all of you. And, you know, Dr. Vicky, I know you had your soapbox moment, but anything else on your mind before we wrap up tonight?
No, it's a crazy world, people. Don't let them push you around out there. That's all.
Absolutely. As my grandma would used to say, don't let the turkeys get you down, soar with the eagles. So.
Yep, there you go.
All right, well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We look forward to having you join us next week if you have time in the live chat. And if you don't, if you can catch up with us in the archives, we always appreciate that. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.